Genesis chapter 13, we've been looking at the outline here, Roman number 5, which goes to the end of the chapter, the chosen and the people that God used. We're looking at the progenitor Abraham and how God started with and creating his people, the Jewish people, there with Abraham, starting in chapter number 12, goes all the way to the middle of chapter number 25. We saw the path of faith in chapter number 12. We saw Abraham believing and unfortunately him backsliding. Then we started last week with the price of faith and again how he left Egypt and then he went right back to where he got off track. And again, we all will backslide at times, God forbid, but when we do, go back to where you got off track, ask God to forgive you and start again. Praise God, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and He'll put us back on the right path. We saw the marks of a spiritual man last week, and the marks in verses 1 through 4 was that, number 1, there was separation. He pulled away from Egypt and away from the world. Secondly, there was sanctification, and that was a separation to God. He goes back to Bethel there, between Bethel and Ai, where the altar was, and began that walk with the Lord in closeness to God again. Then there was sacrifice in verse number 4, and I love the fact here in chapter 13, as he gets back on his feet, the Bible makes a specific point that he's abiding in tents and that he was stayed around the altar. That's very important to note that while we live in this world, we are not, this is not our citizenship. This is not, our home is somewhere far greater than this world. And we are just passing through, just pilgrims, just as Abraham was, and we should stay close to the altar. Then we saw the mind of a spiritual man last week in verses 5 through 9, when he faced some worrying circumstances, whenever Lot and he, there was some strife there, and how he did nothing, but allowed God to move at first. But then there were some wicked co-inhabitors in verse number 7. The Bible says that, again, the Perizzites and the Canaanites dwelt there, and they were seeing this discord amongst brethren. And Abraham said, this isn't right. And may the world never, we may have disagreements, but we should work them out in a biblical pattern and follow that. And we, again, God forbid there be divisions and strifes. If there is, it's only because of pride. And then we saw some of the weaker companions in verses 8 and 9 as Lot made his choice. So Abraham went to him, used a spiritual directness. He went to him there in verse number 8 and talked to him directly. Then he used spiritual discernment at the end of verse number 8. He said, we be brethren. And then a spiritual dignity. Abraham had all the right to make the first choice, and he should have, by all rights, made the first choice. But he allowed Lot to make those choices and showing to be the more spiritual here. Then you see the moves of a spiritual man and kind of where we left off here. First, we looked at Lot, who was resistant to God. We saw that he was weak in his devotions. He never, at any point that we see, ever sought and sought out God. Then we saw he was worldly in his desires as he, again, pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then he was wrong in his decisions as he headed down this wrong path. That leads us here to verse number 10. And let's read here, and then we'll pick up where we left off. It says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And by the way, any time that you pull away and separate from the godly in your life, you're going to end up in issues too. Right. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look at your word tonight. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, you again would speak to us and, Lord, through us. And Father, I pray that, Lord, we'd all leave this place having, Lord, feasted at your table and from your word. And Father, open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law, please. And Lord, I love you very much. In your name I pray. Amen. We saw he who is resistant to God, but now let's look at Abraham as he is restrained by God. Abram at this time, as he's restrained by God. Back in verse number 10, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." And then in verse number 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. I say restrained by God because God kept Abram away from the filth. You know, I'm not going to get into what we already talked about, what Lot did. But God knew what was coming for Sodom. And God protected Abraham. God kept Abraham from these things. And Lot could have chose different directions. And I do not think that Abram would have gone and participated there in the cities. But I also, again, I'm not belittling Abram. Praise the Lord for the man Abraham. But he had just went astray once by going the wrong direction. And if he can do it, so can we. And but he already, because remember how he got into Egypt in the first place, he traveled south. He headed the wrong direction. He didn't go to Egypt at first. He just headed the wrong direction. Lot headed the wrong direction, but God kept him from that. It was George Mueller. Most of you know George Mueller and his life. And if you don't know his life, I encourage you to read something about him. But George Mueller was a great man of faith. And he said this one time. He said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And he said, "But if I can add something, I would say, so are the stops of man." But there are some times that God directs our steps, and there's sometimes God has us be still. Or God has us not move. I mentioned this the last 2 weeks, so let's mention it one more time. If you don't have the peace of God in your life to go forward in some direction, then don't go forward. Let God be the director of your steps. But you see, he was restrained by God. He was kept away from that filth. Then we see he was reassured by God in verses 14, 15, and 16. Abram is reassured by God. He's reassured, first of all, in verse 14 and 15, of his possessions. It says there, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art." Now notice these directions. "Northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." He was reassured by God of his possessions. Now, Abraham had already been told by the Lord what was going to happen. But Abraham had messed up. Chapter 12, you're all with me, right? He messed up. And like any of us who mess up at times, I think probably if you've been saved any length of time, we've all been here, that we wonder, did I mess up to a point where God can't? And Abraham, no doubt, I believe you see it, I think that's why God reassured him at this point. He got back to where he should be. He went back to the altar. He began to praise and talk to the Lord, and now God reassures him. I think you see that in so many different people's lives. Peter's life, after he cursed and denied the Lord 3 times, and I believe that's why the book of John ends as it does. God pulls Peter aside, and again, 3 times, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And he gives him a job to do every time. And feed my sheep. And he said that because Peter, in the back of his mind, and again, I know I don't have scripture for this, but because of what Jesus did, and because Peter was a human being, and I am too, at times we get that thought in our head. So the Lord reassures him. And I believe that's what God is doing here. He said, "Now all those possessions that I said were going to be yours are yours." Now remember, Lot, when Lot was given the choice, Lot decided to go which direction? Which was in the east, right? I didn't expect that. If you answered that, I would have been pretty impressed, right? But he went to the east, right? When the Lord tells him all the land that he was going to get, he said, "Now look everywhere around you, northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. That land over there where Lot went, it's not his. That's yours. Now God's going to purge it. God's going to clean it up before he gives it to Abram. But he says, all these possessions, they're yours." And my friends, what God has promised, He will always do. He reassures him of his possessions. He reassures him of his posterity. In verse number 16, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth." Now, Abram would only have one son through this promised line. But God, again, He works in ways that, you know, sometimes our minds can't comprehend. But the fruitfulness of Abraham has been as the Lord said here. In the spiritual life, and we have to look at things through spiritual eyes, sometimes we don't see much, but as the song goes, little is much when God is in it. And God will take one who is faithful and multiply that in ways that we never imagined. This morning we focused on the fact how that one can have a lack of faith and discourage an entire congregation. But I want to do the other side of that now. One can have and be on fire for God and bring revival to an entire congregation. I mean, one person, we may not think much about it. You know, if you look back to some of in the last 200 years, some of the great heroes of our faith and people who, you know, led thousands upon thousands to Christ. And we could talk about, you know, the Spurgeons, and we could talk about the Moody's and all these people that did all these things, right? Understand, there was a somebody that led them to Christ that had no idea what God was about to do. Our job is to be faithful. Sunday school teachers, those kids in your class, you have no idea what God may do there. It may just seem like another kid, but God may have wonderful and unbelievable things in store. And God said, "I will multiply," and Abraham had Isaac. We know, we'll talk about it later, but my, what God did in amazing ways, just as God can do. See, he was reassured by God, and then you see he was regulated by God. In verse number 17 and 18, there were some orders given from the Lord in verse number 17. And I like this. I outline verse number 17 in this way: get up, get moving, and get all that God has for you. Look at it, verse 17. Arise, get up. Walk through the land and the length of it. Get moving. And in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Now listen, God had just promised, see everything out in all these directions, it's yours. That was God's will. But if Abraham would have sat there, he would have missed out. God told him, get up. Now I don't think he was like in sin or anything, but he's getting Abraham going. Arise. He says, walk through the land and the length and the breadth of it. Get moving. And then get all that I have for you. You say, well, how's that apply to me? Sitting in a pew and not being involved in anything, in any ministries, you're missing out on the joy of the Christian life. Get up, get moving, and get all that God has for you. God has amazing things for every one of us when we are found in the center of His will. God will do amazing things. It's when we throw our hands up and quit, we'll never see it. When we're too lazy to get involved, we'll never see it. If we've been discouraged by someone, we think that we can't. When God says you can, you'll never see it. So I think it's just really good advice. Get up, get moving, and get all that God has for you. You see the orders from God, and you see the obedience of Abraham. In verse number 18, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So what does Abram do? He follows the Lord. I think it's really important that we note this. God told Abraham in verse 17 to do what? Get up and get moving. Then in verse number 18 it says, then Abram removed his tent. So what's the point there? Immediately he obeyed. If Abram would have sat there and thought about it a while, if Abram would have sat there and tried to weigh things and humanly try to figure this out, he would have probably missed out. when God gives you clear direction, immediately do it. Young men, if God is calling you to the ministry, surrender. Today. Tonight. If God is pointing you in a direction on a mission field or in some specific ministry, adults, then it's yes, Lord. When we drag our feet, we miss out on so much that God has for us. It's really important that we note that immediately He did what He knew He was supposed to do. He again, you see Him living in a tent. He's just a pilgrim in this land. He goes to a place called Mamre, Hebron. It's an important place. In chapter 14 and verse number 24, if you want to glance ahead, it says, save only, 14 and in verse number 24, it says, save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, Mamre, let them take their portion. Abram, you say, what are you getting from that verse 24? I'm fast forwarding a lot, but some evil kings came in. And they fought against the kings of the plain where Lot lived. Right. And the kings from the east won. Right. And they took Lot and his family as slaves. Right. Yeah. And Abram went and fought for his family. And when he went and fought for his family, there were men who lived in those areas, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, who went with him. Now, why did they go with him? I don't think that he, you know, said, hey, here's a down payment. You just don't see that. Matter of fact, God seems to miraculously provide for them. I think they went because they wanted to go. Because Abram had been such a witness to them that he had won their hearts. Right. Yep. So he goes to this area. And by the way, Mamre and Hebron here is where kind of Abram would have kind of his headquarters from here on out, if you want to look at it that way. It was there in chapter 23 and verse number 17 that he and his wife and later family would be buried. They would buy a cave in Machpelah, which is in Mamre. It was in this area of Mamre that he sought the will of God. He won souls. It was in this area of Mamre that he wept over his loved ones. It was in Mamre that he sat there and he wept for his wife who had passed away. And it was there in Mamre that he himself would die and he went on to be with the Lord. When I thought about that and I thought about how God did all these things and God, you know, Abram stepped out in faith, he enters this life, he kind of gets off track, he gets back on track, praise the Lord for that, and then God puts him in a specific place. It is in that place that he is found in the will of God, winning souls. There's times of weeping, there's times of rejoicing, there's times of victories. He buries his loved ones, and then he also goes on and enters heaven from that place. And I thought, you know, that's the way, and it should be all of our testimony, that we get saved, we become and join a church that God wants us to be in, and it's there at that place that we serve in the will of God, we win souls for the Lord, there'll be times of weeping, there'll be times of rejoicings, we'll bury our loved ones, and someday we'll go home and be with the Lord. And Abram, he was faithful in these things. You see him, he followed the Lord. But then also here at Mamre, he fellowshipped with the Lord. The chapter ends with, he built an altar unto the Lord. He built an altar unto the Lord. He's still living in the world. But there's one thing from here, from this chapter and on, that Abram said, if I'm going to be here with the Lord, I got to have an altar. I need to have this fellowship with the Lord. And I know it's harped on a lot, but my friends, we need a fellowship with the Lord. I want to encourage every born-again believer, and I know I keep saying it, but I keep saying it because I know we struggle with it. We must have an altar and a time with the Lord every day. Time of fellowship with the Lord. You will not, and I will not, be able to succeed without it. I'm not saying you won't have a good stretch without it. You might.
But ultimately, without that fellowship with the Lord, we will find ourselves in messes. Every time. Abram, you'll continually read it from chapter number 13 to the end of his life in chapter 15, or I'm sorry, 25. He is constantly talking to the Lord. God is constantly talking to him. And you know what Abram does? He stays out of messes. He learns the mind of God. God is able, and just a few verses away from here, to be able to say, I know that I can trust him. Think of that statement.
Yes, sir.
That he will teach his children. That's what God said about Abraham. How did he know he could trust him? Because they spent time talking and walking and fellowshipping with each other every day. I want to encourage. I have accountability on it. There's several men in this auditorium. I try to send you every day what I have read. And many send me back what they're reading. And I want to encourage you to try to make a point to continue to do that. Because it's easy to slip out of that. And if you're struggling with that, and I don't know why, I just felt led to tell you about it. If you're struggling with having consistent time with the Lord, then join us. No one else knows. No one knows who all I get texts from. Because I don't send a group out. I send them individually. Because it's no one else's business. But it's for accountability. And if you're struggling, then let me know. Let's do it together. Let's have some accountability, because our church, in the future, it depends on it. It depends on it. How can we expect the Lord to direct our steps if we're not listening to Him? It's an impossibility. So have that walk with the Lord. I'll close up real quick. You see the path of faith, the price of faith. And I want you to see, I'm just going to give you an overview of chapter 14, the power of faith. The power of faith. Now don't worry, I'm not even going to preach. I'm not going to go verse by verse. I'm just going to introduce it to you. In this chapter, can't wait to get into this chapter. This is one of those chapters that is just filled with so much, I don't know what word to use here, powerful lessons and principles and facts. In this chapter, we're going to be introduced to 10 kings. You're going to have 9 worldly kings, but it's going to end with the King of Righteousness. Melchizedek is mentioned in this first time here. In this chapter, you kind of get a glimpse of the world, that there's going to be many kings who will rise and fall. But in the end, there's only one king. And we will bow before him one day. In this chapter, we have the first mention of tithing. In this chapter, we have the first mention in ever recorded history of a battle between men. There's a battle here. Unless we have any pacifists in the room, God's servant got involved in the battle and won the victory. He did. He got a sword and got some men and went to war. So what's the point of that? Everybody look at me and I'll close. Because there are some things worth fighting for. And there's some things worth fighting for. Number one is your family. I had a meeting with a couple this afternoon. The devil hates families. And if you're going to have a successful family, you're going to have to fight for it. There are some things worth fighting for. Family, and then also believers who've gone astray. And I close with this thought. Lot and his family, I can't speak on the rest of Lot's family, but I do have scripture that says that Lot had a just soul. I believe again that I said Lot was saved. But I believe Lot strayed into a place he never thought he'd ever get. And everybody note this. It started with him just leaning that direction. If I could just enjoy a little bit on the fringe, that's the way it always works. Lot, he went and found himself in a terrible place. When we read chapter 14, he is a slave. His wife's a slave. His children are slaves. According to what they would do, it wouldn't be long till Lot would be slain. His wife slain, and his daughters made servants. That's why Abraham acted immediately. Because, and here's what we have to deal with. Sometimes when Christians, believers, begin to stray, everybody look at me, because it's important. Too many Christians just say, that's a shame. Or, I knew that was going to happen. I knew they would end up there. I saw the direction they were heading. I knew they'd end up in a mess like this. So sad. I think Abraham said all those things, but then Abraham said, but let's get our swords, because they're worth rescuing. And I think that's one great difference between the life of Abraham and the modern Christian today, is that we see people slip away and we think, what a shame. And we let the world devour them. What we need to do is get our swords and go help them. Let's go rescue them. Which is why we're starting these ministries. Which is why we're trying to have more outreach. Because I don't want to be content thinking, well, I'm saved, my wife's saved, I'm going to heaven, my kids are sitting in church. The rest is a shame. No, the rest is our job. No, let's fight for our families. Let's fight for these who have fallen. They're worth fighting for, according to Abram. We'll look at that next week.